open up. I didn't call it a series, but I'm still talking about identity. Especially in this day and age, with Halloween on the verge, and people know that they worship demonic spirits and forces and all that stuff. We can worship and glorify the name of Jesus. We can glorify the Holy Spirit because we have the true Spirit living on the inside of us. So when evil tries to, again, come at your doorsteps, they try to push all, you start catching all these horror films on commercials and stuff, and it's like, why are they coming out with this stuff? But they just want to get you in fear. But we have nothing to fear because we got Christ living on the inside of us. Amen? We are a new creation. If you have your Bibles, open up to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 through 23. It says, "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power." The word power in the Greek here is dunamis. You probably heard that before. It means God's force, or specifically miraculous power. God's power is the only real power that there is out there in the world. Again, I said fear. I said Satan uses fear, and all it is just false evidence appearing real. It's fake. It's not even real. People can fake it until they make it, but what they are faking is not of God. It's not real power. It's not genuine power. They may have influence. They may have money that they'll use as power, but it's not real power. God has the real power, and he's given it to the church. It's God's power and strength in his wonderful, mighty work that he does through us. He chose to give this power to us, and he didn't give us a knockoff. What he used and how what Jesus and how he walked here on this earth, he gave to us. It wasn't like, okay, I'm going to cast you out in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray, I believe that this person is healed in the name of Jesus. I speak healing over this person, over their body, and nothing happens. Because there was no real power. No, the same thing that he operated and moved on this earth and flowed with, the same Holy Spirit, we have that too. We just have a different body. How Jesus moved is how you're supposed to move. That's why he says, "The works that I do shall you do." He didn't say the works that John did, that so-and-so over here did, that Moses did. He said, "The works that I do shall you do, and you will do even greater things." Verse 20. "Which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places." God worked in Christ. He raised him from the dead. That resurrection power raised Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. That power working in us and through us. You're not only human. You know, we have that song, "One Day at a Time," years ago. I'm only human. I'm just a woman, or I'm just a man, or what have you, or however version you want to put. Hopefully it's just those two. But you have the Spirit of God living on the inside of you. You're not just that. Do you make mistakes? Absolutely. But you're not just that. The resurrection power lives on the inside of you. I don't know why this thing is just messing with me. I may get the handheld, Dean, if that's okay. Can we switch to that? Okay, I'm going to switch to that real quick.
God gave us the Holy Spirit, not some demon. You know, some people get that. Sometimes some people may ask, why are there so many Christians that are mean? Why are there some Christians that are mean? I said, probably because they have to deal with you. Listen, I'd rather have somebody who is mean, but yet will tell me the truth, as opposed to somebody being all nice and generous, but inwardly they're just evil. I know where they stand. But God can work on that meanness. Some people's actions will speak louder than their words. They could be mean and look mean and everything else, but they'll still show up. They'll still pray with you. They'll still believe with you. They'll still sow into you. So you can be mean all you want, outwardly, but inwardly, you can be just filled with the love of Christ. Verse 21, it says, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. Did I skip a verse? I read verse 20. Yeah, okay. It doesn't matter what they bring on next. Far above all principality, far above all principality, far above all the rulers. So no matter what Satan can conjure up, what the enemy can bring about, Christ is seated here. Everything else is below. Above every name that is named. Jesus, the name of Jesus is above every single name. And that word might here is also translated dunamis. Jesus is above all government. Jesus is the one who can set up a king and take down another. He's the one that can do that. In verse 22, it says, he put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus is the head. We are the what? We are the body of Christ. And he has put all things under where? So all things are under your feet. Why does it feel like Christians are being defeated today? Because they don't understand that all that stuff is under their feet. It's not above them. Because what's above you is the head, is Christ. And all things are under him. And all things are under you. Hopefully that puts some hair in your chest. So where's the enemy? Under your feet. He's under your feet. Acts 2:34 says this, for David did not ascend into the heavens, but he says to himself, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. In Hebrews 1:13, it says this, but to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool? And even in Hebrews 2:8 and 9, you have put all things in subjection under his feet, for in that he put all subjection under him. He left nothing that is not put under him. But now we do not yet see all things put under him, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, but the suffering of death crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Jesus is the head, we are the body, and all things in subjection, in obedience, is under his feet. Your feet, your feet, your feet. So really, what can Satan do to you? What can the enemy do to you? That's why we spend more time trying to go at each other. Because sometimes we could be bored because we're living in the authority that Christ has given us, and the enemy cannot do anything but what we give him. We give him an inroad into our lives when we submit to sin. But everything is under his feet. It's already a done deal. You just have to live that out every single day. That's something to rejoice about. That's something to get in agreement with. Wait a minute. Well, you mean to tell me I've been submitted to this thing all this time? I've been submitted to this problem all this time? I've been submitted to this sickness all this time? I've been submitted to that debt all this time? I've been submitted to what the world has said and what certain people may have said, and which was twisted and stuff. I've been submitting to that, but yet all things are under my feet? Yeah. So what do? Just start believing. Start taking action, putting action to the word. Let's get together. Let's get together, you and me. Let's get together, your spouse, you and me, let's get together. Why? We're going to run this. Change it up. That's why repentance is so great. What? You change your mind. That's not hard to do. If you're stubborn, it's very hard. I've been liking the Bills since 88, and they haven't won nothing. I'm a little stubborn in that. I'm just praying and hoping. But you don't have to be stubborn when it comes to the things that God has freely given you. Stop submitting to it because of what unbelieving believers are saying. They are not your go-to. They are not your barometer. If they don't believe, let them stay in unbelief. But you build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying how? In the Holy Ghost. Come on. You don't back off of that. You pray in the Holy Spirit as often as you can. When you're walking, when you're cleaning, when you're driving on your way to work or to church or to go visit a friend, you stay praying in the spirit. Why? The enemy don't know. He don't know what you're saying. He cannot devise any kind of schemes to come against you when you're praying to the Father. And that's a line. That's from your spirit to him. Code. You are the body of Christ, so all things are where? Under your feet. We couldn't be the body if it were not for Jesus dying on the cross. And after that, he was raised to life 3 days later, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father. You can't be the body without the head and live. That's crazy. We don't have any headless bodies walking around. Of course, this is Halloween season. You may see something crazy out there. Ephesians 2 says this, and you he made alive. You were dead in trespasses and sins. No one can make you alive spiritually but Jesus. No other religion can make you alive spiritually but Jesus and what he's done. Why? Because you were created by him and for him. So no man, no other religion, no other entity can ever make you alive spiritually. If you are separated from Jesus, you don't really have a spiritual life. If you're an unbeliever, you don't really have a spiritual life. You are still dead in your sins. But here's the thing. Everyone stays spiritually dead until Jesus gives them new life. I was once dead. You were once dead. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We know that. So we don't go around trying to make ourselves look like we're better than others. We just go out and get results. Why? Because the power works in you. His love works through you. His grace and mercy works through you. They can't have true fellowship with the Father until they come to know the man, Jesus. There is one God and one man and one mediator between God and man. That is Jesus Christ. You know, the one that died for your sins, spent 3 days in the belly of the earth and was raised to life by the power of God. In a period of 40 days, Jesus appeared to over 500 eyewitnesses after he was raised to life. Several times. He appeared to all those who believed in his name. Verse 2, it says, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. The sons of disobedience, or the sons of obedience. I'd rather be a son of obedience rather than a son of disobedience, because the son of obedience is the one who is submitted to God. You don't want to be a son of a disobedience, and you don't want to be a son of something else. Where did your minds go? Shame. No, shame. Verse 3, it says, among whom all we once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. Giving our life to Jesus doesn't make us better. We all need a savior. We all live by the lust of our flesh at times. But since we have fellowship with Jesus, we can walk now according to the Spirit. And the thing is, you cannot save yourself. We can't save ourselves. When we stand before God, it will be because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. We placed our faith. Not because of all the works we've been doing. Those works does not matter how much great they may be to people and according to the world. Doesn't matter. It is not enough. It will never, ever, ever be enough. You could be the nicest, kindest, most loving, most gentle, most compassionate person in the flesh, but it will still not be enough to see your Heavenly Father, to see God, to have a relationship with Him. You have to accept what Jesus has done for you. You have to believe in the name of Jesus. Verse 4 says, but God, who was rich in mercy because of His great love with which He loved us. God is rich. We don't have a broke God. We don't have a broke Father. He is rich in everything. He is rich in mercy. He is rich in grace. He is rich in faith. He is rich in love. That's why Jesus says, I've come that you may have life. And how? And have it what? More abundantly. Rich also means abounding with. Wealthy and abounding with. You know, it's hard to give somebody something that you don't have. But He has it. And He was rich in it. And He came and gave that to us. Ah, God, I don't need that. I'm operating my own love. I'm operating my own mercy. I'm operating my own grace. It ain't enough. You have to accept that free gift that He's given you. There is nothing that God is lacking in His kingdom, and there is nothing that He wants you lacking here on earth. It says, even when we were dead in trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been what? By grace, you have been saved. Just like an unbeliever now, they are dead in their trespasses. Do not look down upon them. We were too. Well, they're sinning. That's what they do. Sinners sin. Who sinned when they were a sinner? Who was one of the best sinners? I can throw it out there, y'all. I can give you a run for your money. Those who believe in the name of Jesus, He gave the right to become the sons of God. To all those who hear this word and you have not believed in the name of Jesus, what's stopping you from believing in Jesus? What is stopping an unbeliever from believing in Jesus? If you've never given your life to Jesus and you're an unbeliever, believe in His name. That'll be the best decision you ever make. The best decision you will ever make for you and for your family is having a personal relationship with Jesus. If it wasn't for my dad having a relationship with Jesus, I don't know where I'd be. I'd be dead. He used to be a gang leader. He was in Mississippi. His mom owned a store, and they were out back shooting dice, playing craps, something. And he always carried a pistol on him. He bared arms. And he was a track star, too. And his mom was leaving the store,
I might get this story messed up, so my mom's probably going to have to correct it later on. But she was leaving a store with a deposit, and someone came and robbed her. They were out back. She called his name, JC. Came out, took off after him and his cousins. Caught up to him. You might not be saying good then. Watch. And my dad pulled out his gun. And he was getting ready to blow his brains out. And then somebody grabbed his hand and the gun went off. They took off running. And he ran all the way west to California. But they were having a revival. And that's where he got born again. That's where he changed his life. That's where he gave his life to Jesus. And he stayed out there for a little bit. Went back home and get my mom and brought her back here to California. You never know what God is going to do and what situation you're going to be in. But guess what? It's by grace you have been saved. It's not by your works. It is not by your works. If you can see yourself how God sees you, you have already been raised from the dead in his eyes. No other religion can stake that claim. They cannot make you alive in the spirit. They cannot raise you up and sit you together with Christ in heavenly places. These two verses we see where Jesus made us alive together. He raised us up and made us sit. And we get to share and rule in the kingdom with him. So if you're trying to get to the kingdom of God by works, it will never ever happen. We need his direction. We need his leading. We need his guidance. You know, years ago when Kristen and I started dating, like in January of 97. Don't do the math. We went out to California over spring break. And we didn't have a GPS. We didn't have I don't know if those Garmins were out then. But we didn't have a Garmin. We didn't have it on our phones and stuff like that. We had a map. We laid it out on the dashboard. It's like, okay, this is where we go. That's it. So we knew we had to take the I-70 as far as it can go and hit the 15. And then when we got into California, it was just all sorts of highways and interstates and stuff. Even still to this day, I take a different route. Because there could be traffic over here, traffic over there. I never take the same route. But I know once I get to the 101, that is straight going to Oxnard. We wouldn't be able to get there if it wasn't for that map. You wouldn't be able to get to Jesus, get to God if it isn't for Jesus. He is the way. He is the only way. You can't do it by works. You can't do it through some other road. You ain't going to get there through Muhammad. You're not going to get there through Buddha. You're not going to get there through any other place. Jesus is the only way. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except by me. There's only one way you could be saved. There's only one way you could be delivered. There's only one way that you can inherit eternal life with Jesus. I don't know what song that is. Because there's only one way to the top if you want to save your soul. I changed that. They got it from the Bible. In verse 7, it says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness towards us in Jesus. Again, rich, wealthy, abounding with. God is not out to kill you. He gives you an opportunity to come to Jesus. God is not looking to take you out. If he take you out, he would have done it already. Verse 8. It says, for by grace you have been what? Through. And that not of yourselves. It is a what? It is a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any one should boast. You are saved by grace through faith. The free gift of God, grace, charis, the divine influence upon the heart in its reflection in the life. Gratitude, favor. Faith is a gift. Grace is a gift. God didn't have to give these gifts to us for free. He could have just kept us in the law. But he made it easy on us. Jesus did all the hard work. He did the grunt work. He made it easy for us to come and believe in his name. Nothing stops us from believing in the name of Jesus. But once you accept Jesus and receive him as your Lord and Savior, now there's going to be some work you're going to have to do. And the works that you are done, because you are created, you are his workmanship, so that you may do. Put verse 10 up, please. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for what? Good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You were created in Christ for good works. Now your works come into play after the fact, not before to receive salvation, but after you receive salvation, and your works should be good. Our works should always be good works. Good works should spring from you because you are created in Jesus for good works. That's your fruit. But if you're not saved, then it cannot be that way to obtain salvation. Good trees bear good fruit. And if you're not bearing good fruit, just ask the Lord to prune off some of those dead branches in your life so that you will bear much fruit. Lord, what is dead in my life that I'm just trying to give life to and I can't give life to because it's not something that you placed in my life? Well, anything that is in your life that he didn't place, he's going to remove. Everything that is in your life right now that God did not place in your life, he is going to remove out of your life so that you will bear much fruit. Why? Because you're sons of God. You're children of obedience. You're not sons of disobedience. You're not of the devil. You, Satan, you don't belong to Satan. You belong to God. So bear fruit. Bear good fruit. Speak life in other people. Speak life into yourself. Again, you can't give what you don't have. Smile more. Some of you are still mad. It's okay to smile. Those involuntary burps just get me sometimes. I've been drinking about 135 ounces of water every single day. That's the first I've ever done in my life. I drink about 200 ounces of Pepsi. Used to. I'll tear up a 2-liter. There's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus. So whenever you have your little debates with people, whenever they're questioning, well, can we get this way? No. There's only one way. You are saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. Both of those are free gifts. You can't do it on your own. You need help. You need a savior. You need someone who's been there before. You need someone who was perfect, the perfect sacrificial lamb. You need Jesus in your life, in your everyday life. You can't do it by yourself. With every head bowed, every eye closed, there's someone in here today who's never given their life to Jesus and they want to do it for the first time. Raise your hand. Online, you can join in. Just say this prayer with me. Heavenly Father, today, I make you my Lord and Savior. I confess you with my mouth that you have been raised from the dead. And I believe in my heart that you are seated in heavenly places. I make you my Lord and Savior, Jesus. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. And I give you my life today. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Amen. You are the body. Where's the enemy? He's under your feet. What's that song? Is that Enemy's Camp? He's under her feet. That's good. Y'all need to go and listen. Get on YouTube, listen to that. And go ahead and shout, because it'll get you to shout. Enemy's Camp, right? That's what it is? Yeah. Well, let's stand. Praise God. If there's anyone here who's dealing with any kind of ailments, if you haven't been healed and delivered through worship and through the offering message and through the message right now, and you want to receive healing today, raise your hand and we'll pray with you. Pray for you. We'll cast it out. Speak life into you. Everyone's doing okay? Peachy? You don't have to be embarrassed. Hopefully everybody online. If you are online, hit me up. I'll pray with you. Because there's no distance in the spirit. Matter of fact, we just speak healing in your bodies right now, if you're listening. We command every ailment in your body to be healed by the stripes of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for tumors falling. We thank you for limbs growing. We thank you for migraines being healed right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for cartilage growing. We thank you for herniated discs being healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for eyesight being restored, hearing loss being restored, deviated septums. Is that, I don't know, that's just, you'll get it. Just say yes. Lord, we thank you. We give you all the glory, honor, and praise. We thank you. We curse cancer in the name of Jesus. It has no place in our bodies. Lord, we thank you for healing. Tumors fall in the name of Jesus. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. This Wednesday night, we want to see all of you here. This is our family fun night. It'll start at 6. We're going to have games. We're going to fellowship. We're going to have food back there so you can go and come as you please. It'll be great. Bring your friends. It's going to be just an awesome night to play, okay? I mean, just to have fun and a fellowship, all right? All right. Go out and be the light. Amen. God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.